want to talk to you today on this topic, the temptation on the cross. The temptation on the cross. Maybe another title could be The Final Temptation of Jesus. When we think about the temptation of Jesus, we think at the beginning of his ministry, after he had fasted 40 days, he was in the wilderness, the devil came to him, said, turn these stones to bread. We're familiar with that temptation, and Jesus came through that. And then we're also familiar at the end of his ministry, as he is in Gethsemane, and as he's going through that struggle of not my will, but your will be done. I'm sure there was temptations in those times. But there was another temptation that maybe is less obvious to us, and that was the temptation on the cross, the final temptation of Jesus. And the ministry temptation at the beginning was to keep him and, you know, from his ministry, and at the close of his ministry, there was a temptation. But it was on the cross that he actually carried out his mission. He accomplished his mission. And you would think if that was the point where he actually was carrying out his mission, that Satan would focus on that time to give him perhaps the strongest temptation to keep him from fulfilling his ministry. And I believe that that's the case. That there was a temptation on the cross referenced by some of the scripture that Kay read today. And let me first say, what was the mission of Jesus that he carried out on the cross? And this is the mission. The mission of Jesus was to save others. Jesus came to save others, to give his life a ransom for us. He came with that mission. The angel told Mary when she was first announced that she was going to have a baby, Matthew 1:21, and she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. This was the mission that Jesus carried his whole life, and it was accomplished when he hung on the cross. So I just put this in your note. Salvation, or his mission, was accomplished on the cross. This is where it happened. And that the final attempt of Satan to disrupt this mission no doubt would have happened on the cross. So what was the temptation that Jesus had on the cross? The temptation on the cross was save yourself. Save yourself. What was the mission? Save others. Temptation on the cross was to save yourself. And it came from different sources. And I have listed four different sources that temptation came to Jesus hanging on the cross. And here's the first one. Those who passed by. Those who passed by. Matthew 27:40. You who destroyed the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. And so this temptation that was coming to Jesus was save yourself. And it was based on this fact, in this temptation, affirm your words. Affirm your words. You said, they had mistaken. He had said, if you destroy this temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days. They thought it was the natural temple. It says right in the scripture, but Jesus referring to his physical body, that if they were to crucify him after 3 days, he would raise it up. He also proclaimed with his words that he was the Son of God. And so the temptation was, if this be the case, affirm your words by saving yourself. The second aspect of this temptation came through the chief priests. In Matthew 15, 30 to 31, save yourself and come down from the cross. He saved others, himself he cannot save. In other words, it was based on affirming your works. He had forgiven sin. They had criticized him. How can anyone forgive sins but God? And so they're saying, hey, he said he saved others, save yourself. Show it, prove it by saving yourself. Can you hear what's ringing in Jesus' ears as he's hanging on the cross? Everyone in front of him is saying, in some way or other, save yourself, save yourself, save yourself. The soldiers is the third group. In Luke 23, 37, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself, save yourself. And so this was sort of based on, well, affirm your authority. You're the king of the Jews, you have authority. King wouldn't be put to death. If you truly are the king of the Jews, you came as the king, well, you certainly wouldn't put to death. So prove yourself. Affirm your authority. Again, it rings in his ears. Save yourself. Save yourself. And finally, one of the criminals. In Luke 23:39, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. So they based their claim on affirm your identity. If you are the Christ, if you are the anointed one, if you are the Messiah, if you're the one to come and save the people from their sins, if that's who you are, then save yourself and save us. So you see this compromise now comes that, yes, if you are the Christ, you're to save others, but what about yourself? Save yourself and save us. This was the cry that we're coming to Jesus. Now, I have to believe if this attempt was so perpetual as he's on the cross, that this had to be a real temptation to Jesus. Now, he didn't succumb to it, but the Bible says he was tempted in all points such as we. This was a temptation to Jesus. He didn't want to lay down his life in his natural self. In fact, he prayed and said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. He wasn't embracing this in the sense because he wanted to. And so this temptation is, and this final temptation, yes, fulfill your mission, but also save yourself. And the fact, of course, is he couldn't do both. But that was the temptation coming to Jesus. Satan's temptation to thwart Jesus' mission was save yourself. Save yourself. I believe that perhaps this final one was the one that strengthened Jesus, gave him resolve to go forward. He's at the cross. He's on the cross. He's going to lay down his life. He had to have faith, because the Bible says we have faith as is the faith of the Son of God. What was the faith of the Son of God? If he laid down his life, the Lord would resurrect him from the dead. There was something after he laid down his life. And so the temptation is, save yourself. You're not sure. You know, you're going to go through this. Save yourself. Save yourself. And it's like, it's almost like it was a gift to Jesus. The criminal saying, save yourself and us. And the other criminal, he rebukes his fellow criminal by saying, you know what? This man's guilty of nothing. And he turns to Jesus and he says, remember me when you come to your kingdom. And I think in that moment, it solidified his faith. It solidified and showed him clearly why he was laying down his life on the cross. There's a man right with him that's dying on the cross. And this man saying, remember me. And Jesus said, yes, yes, I'm remembering why I'm doing this. I'm remembering you because I'm laying down my life for you. And you will be with me today in paradise. There was a sense, yes, there is something after this. There is a joy to look forward to. You will be with me in paradise. It's almost like the final temptation backfired on Satan in the sense that it strengthened Jesus' resolve to carry out his mission and not to save himself, but to save others. Now, Jesus accomplished his mission, but he gave us a mission to carry out. Every one of us as Christians have a mission. And our mission is to share the good news of salvation and show through our actions how it has changed our life. So we are given the Great Commission, Mark 16:15. So he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's our mission. And I believe Satan's strategy has never changed. His temptation to us is the same temptation he gave Jesus. His desire to thwart our ministry today is the same tactic he used. And what was it? Satan's desire to destroy our mission is save yourself. Save yourself. Today's Satan's temptation to us is the same. Save yourself. Now, 1 Thessalonians 2:8 says, I'm just going to back up to the verse before. We had such a strong, this is Paul speaking to the saints at Thessalonica, and he writes in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 8, we had such a strong desire to help you that we were happy to give you the good news. Because we loved you so much, we were ready to give you our lives also. So I want you to see that our proclamation of the good news is in words, and we've been talking about speaking up and speaking words, but the impact of our words come from a life that's manifesting the life of Christ and his love. And Paul says, when we came to you, the reason that our ministry was so effective, in fact, he says in another place in that letter, you saw the good news expressed in power. The power, if you read, it says, because you saw what manner of people we were among you, that we cherished you, we loved you, we actually would lay down our lives for you. We didn't just impart the words of the good news, the gospel, but we actually lived our lives in such a way you saw the love of Christ manifested to you through us. Now, folks, this is our mission. Our mission is to speak words, and we've been talking about that. You need to speak words. You need to reference Jesus. But you do it in a context of love, and manifesting the love of God. So the temptation comes to us, first of all, not to speak words. But the real temptation is, okay, speak words, but save yourself. I mean, don't go overboard on this. Don't lay down your life. Don't put them first. Don't put their interests first. Don't sacrifice your comfort, your convenience, your prosperity. Don't sacrifice that for them. Save yourself. You know, as someone said, words are cheap. If we only spoke words of salvation to people, it won't have the same impact as if it's empowered by your love, empowered by your actions, that people that we meet have a sense we care for them, we really have an interest in their life, we're willing to sacrifice ourselves for their benefit, that there's nothing in this for us, but we're wanting them to experience what we've experienced. So that's why it's spoken without condemnation. That's why it's spoken by actually our bearing the wrongs of people and the hurts of people towards us. Because we're not trying to save ourselves. We're wanting to speak words, which we need to speak words of the gospel, but empowered by the love of God, where we would actually lay down our lives for people. Now, it's hard to get our heads around that, because I'm not sure that we are clear on our mission. We sort of feel like our mission is pray and seek God, and he'll help you save your life. He'll give you a better family. He'll give you a better job. He'll heal all your diseases. He will bless you. He will save you in ways that, benefit you. Now, all of that is true, but that's not what we're called to, just experiencing all the blessings of God. We're called to a mission. It's like Jesus didn't just come to, feed the 5,000, bless them there, do a teaching, have everybody applaud what he did. No, he came to lay down his life. That was his mission. Yes, we're to tell people about the good news of Jesus, and take every opportunity we can. Go into your world. Talk to every creature you have. But here's the thing. Go into your world and impact every creature you meet with the love of Christ. Where you are putting every person you meet, you're putting their interest ahead of your own. Because you're not trying to save your life. You're following in the footsteps of Jesus and laying down your life for them. And this is what John 3:16 says. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So we are the extension of the incarnation. Now follow me. Jesus was the Son of God. He was God manifest on the earth. He came to minister to people and show Christ to the world. We are sons and daughters of God. He has put his spirit in us. Our physical beings are supposed to be God manifest in the flesh. We're the extension. We're the body of Christ. So just as Jesus had a physical body that he did things, we are the body of Christ. And we are to show forth Christ's love. And the essence of it is, we are laying down our life like Jesus laid down his life for us. So he purchased salvation by laying down his life. We spread the message of salvation by laying down our lives. We're to do the very thing that Jesus did. We can't save someone. He did that. But we are his vessels to share good news with people. And if we don't share the good news, it doesn't get shared. And that's why he said, after he had appeared to them, go wait for the promise of the Father, and you will receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. You're my ambassadors. So this is our mission. So we need to awaken to the mission and realize that's what it's all about. But here's the second thing. Realize Satan's temptation to keep you from doing it. And it's the same thing. Save yourself. Save yourself. Save yourself. Put your comfort, your interest above others. Don't go overboard. Be balanced. Don't be thought to be a fanatic. Save yourself and others. You can do both. tell other people, but hey, when it really comes to it, I'm going to save myself too. This was not what Jesus did. He rejected that temptation, save yourself and others. No, he realized he had to lay down his life to save others. Do we realize the same? I'm praying right now that God will open our eyes to this truth. Satan does not want you to see this. He wants, and he has lulled us to sleep. I am convinced. I get lulled to sleep. Knowing these things, but in the moment of choice, as I'm interacting with people, I'm very aware of how they are treating me and that I need to also save myself. I want to save face. I want to save my dignity. I want to save my reputation. I want to save my resources. I want to save my respect. I don't want to lay down my life. I want to preserve my life while doing what God's called me to do. Now, folks, you can't do it. And that's your next point. You can't save yourself and others at the same time. And it goes to the earlier point. Our mission today is carried out on a cross. Our mission today is carried out on a cross. Just as Jesus fulfilled his mission by being on a cross, we fulfill our mission by being on a cross. Listen to what it says in Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." So the way for you to follow the Lord and fulfill your mission is to take up your cross, that instrument where you lay down your life for someone else, where you put their interests above your own. You're more concerned about their receiving the good news than I'm seen to be right. They're respecting me. This isn't costing me anything. We want to serve God without it costing us anything. You know why? And this is the next point. I'm going to come back to these verses, but I just want to lay these points out for you. The only power to override self-preservation is love. I mean, self-preservation is so strong. It's the strongest natural human drive, self-preservation. In the natural, to preserve our physical body, that's the strongest thing. It's stronger than anything else. If your life is in danger, everything goes into the shadows. You have to save yourself physically. But we also want to save ourselves emotionally. I don't want to go through any emotional pain. I don't want to go through any emotional hurt. I want to spare myself that. I want to spare myself that I don't have to make choices that endanger me or make me feel less of, or I can't lay hold of the things right now I want because I want to grip it now. I want to save my life. So we have to see that this drive for personal preservation is there in our life. Listen to the verse in John 12:24. "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." This is the teaching of Jesus. You take a seed. You want to preserve that seed, keep that seed, protect that seed. That's all I've got. It doesn't even nourish me, but boy, if I give that away, I have no nourishment. But he says, you know what? You have to let the seed go in the ground. And from our perspective, it's buried and it's dead. But it's really not dead because there's a resurrection power in the seed and it springs up, sprouts, and leaf, and it bears grain, abundant amount of grain. Someone else looking on says, oh, why'd you throw that away? Oh, that was a waste. I don't want to be like you. You're always putting other people. You're not experiencing the most out of life. Keep it. Keep your life. But the scripture says if you just allow it to die, die to yourself, die to your own desires, the physical self-preservation aspects, die to that. It's actually going to bear, that's when fruit is born, out of the death process of laying down your life. 1 Corinthians 15:36 picks it up. What you sow is not made alive unless it dies. This is in the context of Paul writing to the church about the resurrection of Jesus. He was saying, unless Jesus died, then there couldn't be anything. Whatever we sow, it's not made alive until you let it go. These are tremendous truths. That Satan wants us to be able to quote the verses but not implement the truth of the verse. Do you know what I mean? Like we know these verses. We know these phrases. Lay down your life for someone else. But where we get foggy is in the application. And the temptation rings in our ears. That's too much. That can't be right. I'm going to have less. I'm going to experience less joy. I don't want to do that. I don't want to lay down my life. I don't want to put someone else first. But you have to die. You know, it's very hard to offend a dead person. I mean, speak all you want, criticize them. Doesn't seem to faze them at all. Slap them around a bit. Not that I would suggest this, but it's not going to affect them. A dead person doesn't live for itself. It's lost the reactions to offenses. And if you're going to lay down your life, you have to lose those natural responses that wants to save your reputation. I want to save how I'm viewed. I want to save my pride. We want to save a lot of things. I want to spare my feelings. I'm not going to put up with that. All these things kick in that we, this is the thing, we don't even know we're succumbing to Satan's temptation. We just think it's normal. In fact, God sort of wants me to have not be thought bad of. Well, we have to ignore a lot of scriptures for that. But we sort of feel like, well, of course. Of course I should act this way. Well, of course I should try to get even. Well, of course I should respond and show my displeasure to that. Rather than just, and here we already said the final fill-in, so let's go back to it. The only power to override self-preservation is love. Love. It can't be willpower, determination, I should do this. Because it's limited. I might say I should lay down my life for someone else, but I can't maintain it in the moment because it self-preservation is too strong and it overcomes all the things I know I should be doing and I shouldn't be upset, but I am upset. And all these things we're wrestling with. You know why you're wrestling with it? Because you're still alive. You've never just come to the point where you lay down your life and say, it's not about me anymore, but it's about God's mission. And he uses me as a person filled with God's life so I can let go of my life and let his life be manifested through me. Now, how does God's life manifest through you? Love. I mean, love is the manifestation of Christ's love within you. The fulfillment of the law is love. The first fruit of the Spirit is love. It's the essence of what God does in your life. He gives you love for people, genuine love for people. Not the thought, I have to do this. No, now love becomes the strongest motivation. Just as Jesus is on the cross, they're jeering him, mocking him. They're doing everything they can. I mean, they have bruised him. He is bleeding. He's hurting all over. They've plucked out his beard. They have spit in his face. They have, anything you can think they did to Jesus. But he didn't save himself. Everything in him, Satan saying, save yourself, save yourself, save yourself. So it is with us. We need to be motivated by God's love. Now, here's why Jesus stayed on the cross. It tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What motivated Jesus on the cross was his love for people. Romans 5:7-8. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrate his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You could maybe muster enough energy by self to save your own child. But even then, why are you doing it? Because of your love for your child. And you saw a really good person. It said, you know, someone might even dare to die for a good person. But God demonstrates his love towards us while we were still sinners, where we're still in rebellion, where we're still actively rejecting and ridiculing. Even that said, God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, he died for us. He didn't save his life. He gave his life for us. This is the love of God that he's poured out in our hearts. So that then all these verses we've talked about so many times, this love comes forth and it's stronger than our enemies. We're loving our enemies. We're blessing the people that curse us. We're doing good to people who hate us. We're praying for people who spitefully use us. It's coming out of the love that God has put in our hearts. And we need to, you know, when you understand this message and what our mission is, we need to lay hold of the fact, how do I lay hold of the love of God? I think it's fellowship with Jesus, it's fellowship with the Holy Spirit, but it's also praying for people. Pray for the people who is irritating you the most and that you are meant to be a witness to them, but rather than being a witness, you're reacting to them. So you're missing opportunities to share with people because I am so reacting to what they've done. So we have to pray for people and lift them to the Lord. And God will give us a love for people beyond your even imagination. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why you have to have his Spirit to be a witness. You need this power of love in your life. This is the thing that overcomes the world, the love of God. Now listen to what it says as we go on here in John 13:34. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this will all men know that you are my disciple. This is what's going to cause you to stand out. This is what's going to make your witness powerful. As it goes on, if you have love for one another. If we genuinely are feeling, I want to put them first. I've already decided I've died to myself. I'm not living. I don't care what their response is. I don't care about reactions. I'm unoffendable. I am here on mission. I know Satan's going to whisper, save yourself, save yourself, save yourself. But I'm not going to respond to that. I'm going to keep loving people and pressing in and turning the other cheek. And when they sue me at court to take away my shirt, my tunic, I'm going to give them my cloak also. They force me to go a mile, I'm going to go 2 miles. These are the things that get through to people that break down their resistance. You see, I talk to people, but they seem just seems to bounce off them. Well, maybe your love hasn't broken down their barrier yet. Maybe they don't see how much you love them and care for them. But these things need to happen just naturally as you're caring for people and you're going through life and you're going into your world. And every creature you meet, you realize, I am here to meet this person, to show them God's love in an extraordinary way. And I'm going to use my mouth to link it to the witness of Jesus. And that's how I'm going to accomplish my mission on earth. And I realize the thing that keeps me from doing that is save myself, save myself, save myself. So this is powerful truths this morning. It really is. Satan does not want us to hear this. He doesn't want to be exposed in his strategies. We need to break out of our somehow the cloudiness of our thinking, where we think we can save ourselves and also save the world. And we realize, no, Jesus died so the world will be saved. We have to die so the world will be saved. But it's a different way. But the very love that God put in Jesus is the love that we are to have in our hearts so that we can reach people and share the gospel with them. Here's our final verse, Luke 9:24. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What this speaks to me is, Satan says, if you lose your life, it's over, you've lost it, it's gone. Shouldn't do that. The truth of God's word is, as you lay down your life, this is actually when you find your life. This is when you experience the life of Christ. This is where you experience his joy and his heart, and you have peace. Everyone else says, how can you have peace? And the scripture says, it's a peace that goes beyond understanding. I mean, I can't explain this peace. All I know is when I serve others and I give my life for others and I put other people first, I've never been happier. I've never had more joy. I've never been more at peace. I understand what the fruit of the Spirit says, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Well, how did that get in there if you're trying to save your life? No, he says you're going to suffer and you're going to suffer long, and that's a fruit of the Spirit because that's how you're going to break through the exterior of people so you can touch their heart and God's word touches their heart. If you lose your life, you're going to gain it. But if you try to save that little seed and not going to let it go in the ground, well, then you're not going to gain your life. We're to live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. What was the faith of Jesus on the cross? If I lay down my life, today I'm going to be in paradise with this criminal. God is going to raise me from the dead. And as it said, when he raised him up, he gave him all power and all authority. He had the restoration of full life. And but Jesus had to have faith on the cross that if he laid down his life, he was going to gain his life. As Christians, we have to live by the faith of the Son of God, that if we follow his ways and allow his love to motivate us, that it looks to everyone else like you're laying down your life, but to you, you just say, I'm finding my life. I'm finding the joy I never had before. I'm finding a peace that I never had before. I'm feeling contentment I've never had before because I'm laying down my life, and by faith, I'm seeing the product come forth. Well, that's our message, the final temptation of Christ. Probably the greatest temptation you will experience is save yourself. Shall we stand together this morning? Oh. I want to pray two things for us today. First, that the cloudiness will leave our minds and we'll see clearly what our mission is. Our mission is to take up our cross, put other people first, and share the good news of the Lord. And just realize all those things go together. And also, secondly, that we see our motivation for this is the empowering of God's love in our hearts. So would you allow me to pray for us? Father, do clear our minds. The darkness that Satan settles over us, the darkness of this world, trying to save ourselves, trying to please ourselves, putting ourselves first. Lord, may we see how that is such a darkness that obscures really what you have for us all. So may that mist just clear out of our life. May we come into the realization, Lord, the call and mission you've given for each one of us. And that if we lose our life, we'll gain it. Thank you, Lord, for that revelation. May that be forever settled in our hearts. And we also pray for the motivation of your Holy Spirit, knowing that it's only as we love people that we can actually fulfill this. This is a work of your Holy Spirit in us, enabling us to do this. Loving people like you love them. Feeling towards people like you feel towards people. Open my heart, Lord, to your love. Pour out your love into my heart. May every person I meet, may I feel towards them like you feel towards them. Help me, Lord, to show them love in the midst of their reactions to me. Oh, God, help us. We're your people. We're your representatives. Empower us, Lord, to do this work. Help us to push off every temptation of Satan to save ourselves. I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.